Welcome to Voices of Freedom.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's great to have you here. It's Monday morning. I'm excited to talk about Jesus, and I hope you're excited to learn a little something. Read this Bible through a couple times. Thought I probably had a pretty good handle on a few things. But then I had this lesson pop out to me on judgment there, and I'm telling you, it is really strong. And what makes it so strong is there's lots of judgment in this Bible. We know about the flood in Noah's time, but did you know that there was sort of a judgment when Adam and Eve sinned because God cursed the earth? Okay? What'd that mean? Well, it meant that if you wanted to eat something, you was going to have to work and keep the weeds out of the garden. It meant if you were going to have babies, and we were commanded to have the babies, that there was going to be pain in childbirth. So lots of things happened. And that's just a couple places where there was judgment. Then I read over here in the book of Matthew where everyone is so interested in judging other people that Jesus told them in chapter 7, I believe, of the book of Matthew. He says that, guess what? He said, you've got a beam in your eye. And I'm not talking about, well, just envision a two before, but they're talking about a ceiling beam that might be 20 foot long and 6 inches thick. And imagine if you're walking around and that's in your eye, you couldn't even see where you're going, but yet at the same time you're going to judge someone else because they've got a splinter or a speck of dust or dirt in their eye. Now, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of that happens around. And you know, you say, well, you know, what's the deal? Or, you know, how could I work on that? Well, we're going to get into that today, and that's kind of, I guess, what really sparked my interest in this lesson is once I started seeing that, wow, there's a clear plan in this thing. And I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm not a very good teacher or preacher, I don't know, but I should have already really had a better grasp on this, if you will. But let me give it to you here. It says, this is Romans chapter 2, verse 2. It reads like this. It says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such sin. So what is it? You see, we're sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. Now start thinking on that for just a second. See, our objective, our standard that God has set for us is based on how much time we spend in the truth. What is the truth? He says in other places in this Bible that his word is the truth. So in order to be able to be what Jesus wants me to be, to conduct myself in the manner that I should conduct myself in, I need to be able to look this situation up and see the truth. Do you see the truth today? It's a lot to be thought about, isn't it? Because these are the basic principles that God's going to judge us by. He's going to judge us according to the truth. Everything in his Bible is the truth. It's the inspired, inerrant word of the living and the true God. How well do we know the truth? Says the truth shall set you free. Do we know it? I don't think we know it like we should. Are we applying the Bible to our lives? I don't know that we apply it like we should. So I start to look around at a bunch of this stuff, and the next thing you know, it's like, wow. Not only am I falling short, I am falling very short in the first key item. But let me give you something else. It says the next thing here in verse 6, it says, who will render, and this is who being God. So let me put God in there. It says, God will render every man according to his deeds. God will render every man according to his deeds. So what's he rendering? Well, he's going to give you exactly what you deserve. Man, that's kind of scary, isn't it? Because the deeds, see, we got so many people that swear up and down, which is not good to do either. We don't want to be swearing, but taking oaths and things like that. But so many people say, I'm saved, I believe in Jesus, and it's all in my head, and I go to church, and I do. And they say, well, what kind of deeds are you doing? What do you mean deeds? Well, when's the last time you paid somebody else's electric bill? Or when's the last time you gave, you know, some poor looking fellow walking down the street that begged you for five? When did you just give him the five and not worry about if he was buying a pint of whiskey or a Big Mac? You see? Because when I give something to somebody, guess who gets the blessing on that? Old Lunsford here. They don't ask me to follow him down the street and see what he does with the money. Now, there's a whole lot better things we can do. We can take him and get him a sandwich. We can meet him there if we don't want to haul him around, because you get that sometimes. And in this day and time, I can understand that. But looking at this Bible and knowing that my sin, or lack of sin, or actions, or lack of actions, the works that I do, the deeds that old Lunsford does, guess what? Those deeds are going to be rendering something, right? You render the lard, right? Remember those days? So something is churned out. You throw the butter in it and it churns out cream, however that goes there. I've heard that story, but I don't know. So we've got deeds. So I got to have the truth, I've got to have God, I got to have the Bible in my life, and I got to be applying it and working with it and doing some things. The second thing are the deeds that I'm doing. What kind of deeds do I have going on? Am I doing anything for Jesus? Do I think that doing one thing a month is setting the world on fire for Jesus? And like one of our wonderful people said last night at church, you know, do I have to run and tell everybody what I do? You don't have to tell me anything. I don't have to tell you anything, but in your heart, where your relationship with Jesus is, you ought to have a pretty good understanding. You ought to have a pretty good understanding of the works that you do, the deeds that you do. Faith without works is dead, I believe it was James who said. See, we're not interested doing anything for anybody. You see, they deserve what they get. Them druggies, they deserve it. Them alcoholics, they deserve it. This one deserves it. This one deserves it. Listen, we all deserved hell. So wake up before it's too late. Now let me tell you something else that we're going to get out of this thing as Christians. Now I'm taking into account this morning that everybody that's listening to this is professing to be a Christian. So I'm telling you that you're going to be judged in a divine way, a God that is without blemish, without mistake, that loves us but still has to judge us on the truth. His truth, this Bible, will set us free. The deeds that we do are important. And when we come to another thing, is how are we enjoying the light that Jesus Christ has put us in? Let me read verses 11 through 15. It reads like this. Excuse me. For there is no respect of persons with God. What does that mean? It means God treats everybody the same. Do you and I treat everybody the same? Do we get as excited walking through the mall and seeing a politician as we do the homeless? Now, we all probably fall short on this. If your favorite singer was walking through the mall and then somebody that didn't smell very good was walking through the mall, you see where we're going with this? It doesn't take us very long to figure out that we've fallen short of this. It says here in verse 12, for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. So we've got two different groups of people moving here, don't we? So when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Now that's a tongue twister, and there's all kinds of crazy going on in that, okay? Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. My conscience is going to do something for me if I'm saved. It's going to keep me from trouble. It's going to point out my shortcomings. It's going to tell me when I need to be doing some things. So I'm walking in the light. Why? Because I'm saved. Because Jesus has come into my life. Because I've got him first. Am I the best Christian in the world? No. Am I the best Christian in Salt Rock? No. Right? But now I've got more information than I had a few days ago because, to be honest, I've never seen these four verses pop out like this. Or it's more than four verses, but it's 4 points. To let me know I am the light of the world. I am to be commissioned as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, and my job is to go and tell other people about Jesus. This should get me just about as excited as anything in the world. You see? I should be as excited as anybody ever got excited, right? So let's figure out why. Well, the gospel, which is being preached, which is being talked about, let me share it in verse 16. It says that in the end, in the day, when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. So guess what? God is going to judge you not on outward appearances, not on what my neighbor thinks of me, not on how good my job was. He's going to look at me and he's going to judge me by the gospel that came to me, which was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which I believe in. I believe Jesus shed his blood in order that we could get remission for our sins or forgiveness. And because he's done those things, I can enter into a relationship with him if I surrender who I am and then let Jesus take the lead. You see where we're going with that? Now, because Jesus has taken the lead in this, the gospel, it gets me Jesus living in my heart. That same gospel is going to get me into the truth, into more deeds, helping me to be the light that Jesus wants me to be. Now, all of a sudden, the gospel, which the secret thoughts of men and their motives are judged, will come out in the end in front of God. So it's campaign season. Excuse me. I'm running for political office. My sign says Jesus first. If I run out here to get your Christian vote and that sign is saying Jesus first to get your vote, then Jesus knows my thoughts and he knows my motives. Now, I tell you what, that's powerful right there. I don't care who you are. I don't care up, down, all around. You see where we're going with it? The gospel by which the secret thoughts and motives of men are judged. See, God knows, and that's our biggest problem today, is we can't possibly think that God knows what we're doing and be doing what we're doing. Does that make sense? I mean, I hate to make it crazy or, you know, do anything about it, but at the end of the day, there is no way we could believe in Jesus Christ with all of our heart, mind, and soul and be doing what we're doing, thinking what we're doing, thinking what we're thinking, you know, and not be heartbroken every time the church is open and at the altar, and the altar's in your heart. So, I mean, you can pray right now. You can be brokenhearted right where you sit. But it's interesting, you know. It's interesting. So here's what I will leave you with today. I'd get a good King James Study Bible, and I'd start studying that Bible. And I'd see what's in there from God for you, because I'm telling you, God has a master plan for you. Isn't that something? God's got a master plan for your life. And if we don't pay attention here, we're going to miss out on it. Boy, I don't know about you, but I definitely don't want to miss out on anything. Nothing that God's got planned for me. Wow. Listen. Love you guys. I appreciate you. And I want you to do the best that you can for Jesus Christ. And the best that you can do for Jesus, the best that you can do for the community, the best you can do for yourself, the best of the best of the best is to get you a Bible and start to read it and understand it. You'll find out that this place has no hold on you. has no hold. We can move on to the next moment in the blink of an eye. Isn't that something? Our lives could be required of us right now, and then what happens? I could just go on and on about this lesson. I mean, it spoke to me that much. I'm hoping and praying that you guys have a great day.